His relationship with God started to change as he moved into that level. That's a point that Galatians 3 started with. Friendship and sonship. Now, the third area, chapter 5 and 6. Galatians chapter 5 and 6. Having received the faith of Jesus Christ that energizes us, chapter 1 and 2, chapter 3 and 4, having received the Spirit of God to come in, to live with us, to be in us, to be one with our spirit. We all know that being born again is having a new spirit and having the Holy Spirit. They are two different areas of blessings. Ezekiel tells us that I will give you a new heart, a new spirit, and I will put my spirit in you. That is Galatians 3 and 4. So having been energized by His Spirit, now chapter 5 and 6, the practical application of that. And we might as well give you the key word here in chapter 5 and 6. It is now fatherhood. We have servantship, servanthood actually. I'm getting all my English messed up. Servanthood, right? There's no servantship. Must have invented a new word. But how nice if the English could harmonize servantship, sonship, fathership, right? By servanthood, right? Sonship and fatherhood. Chapter 5. What he means now, having the Spirit, now he teaches how to walk in the Spirit, how to live in the Spirit. That's his emphasis now. He's teaching how to do it. Now in verse 6, he gives one key. Because God is love. Now he says in chapter 5 verse 6, in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith energized through love. In Christ Jesus, faith energized through love. And then we have the emphasis here in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, he says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. He's teaching us now how to flow with this presence of faith of Jesus, the presence of Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now he wants us to move deeply into that area so that we know the presence of the Father. Remember what Jesus wants to bring to us? He wants us to know the presence, His presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Father. Because he says, I and my Father, I will manifest myself to you. Then he says that I and my Father will come to you, abode with you and sup with you. That is John 14. And also in that same area, he says, I will send my Spirit to you, who he will abide with you. So we have the presence of the Godhead in us. Galatians, he's trying to emphasize now how to walk in the Spirit, how to be led by the Spirit. And then we have the famous verses in 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. And it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Or rather, against such, there is no law that you will be contradicting. You will be fulfilling the law. Now, I want to emphasize a point here that Paul was not teaching just the fruit of the Spirit. He was telling them how to be led by the Spirit. Look at the context. In verse 18, he's talking about being leading by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. And you can see in verse 22, 23, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And to emphasize his point, verse 25 and 26, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, he's still talking about the same point about how to walk in the Spirit. It's called the divine flow of love. And in our other teachings, we have shown how all the nine fruit of the Spirit are tied to different aspects of love working in our life, because we tie it to 1 Corinthians 13. Where love rejoices and love is peaceable and everything else. Love suffers long, so it's long-suffering. And all this fruit is actually one fruit. It's the manifestation of the fullness of God's love in our life. And as we flow in that area, the experience is giving us here an example. We talk about the presence of Jesus, the peace, etc. But there is such a thing, remember this, there's such a thing as an awesome presence of His love beyond what we normally felt and taste in our inside. There is a difference between taking a drink of water and bathing. There is a difference between tasting and feasting. There is a difference in the kind of love He talks about that you live in. The presence is so great. So great that sometimes all you want to do is cry because of the love you feel. I'm not making it up. Look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. He's talking about that great measure of love that will come when the fullness of the presence of Jesus is in our life. I know what it's like, and I felt its strength from time to time. Why wasn't his strength all the time? Because he'd be looking like Jeremiah, crying all over the place. So strong, you can't stand it. I mean, I felt God's love embrace you until you couldn't do anything else but weep, because his love touches your inner cause of your being. We know his abiding love. Wait till you know his surrounding love. Powerful. You see, the purpose of Ephesians 3, being strengthened inside and everything else, and it says that in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Then look at verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We're talking about fatherhood. When the love fills your life. And as you walk and move, you feel that awesome love all over you. How to sin? You can't. You can't. When you look at sin, you want to vomit. You can't. See what Christians are missing? The presence of God. So awesome that we can have the leading of love. John Austin has a very good book called The Divine Flow of Love. We talk about how he's led by the Spirit by sensing love. Sometimes he looks at a crowd and he feels that love drawn to one person. He'll call that person out and get a word of knowledge and bring a miracle. He talks about the leading of the Spirit by love. It's called the divine flow of love. That's one aspect, the leading of the Spirit. The other aspect is the surrounding presence of his love. And in chapter 6, that's where the key, the difference between walking in the Spirit, walking in grace, and walking in law. You see, when you walk by the law, you want to do in order to get. You want to do in order to receive. You want to work your way to earn merit and credit. That's the law. But he tells us the key in Galatians 6. It's not doing to get. It's not doing to earn merit and credit. He says, the key is to give. To give love. To give of your substance. To give of your time. To give of your kindness. To give of your ability. To give of your talents. He says, whatever you want. Don't do something to get it. But give up something in you to get it. Give us something and as a sowing to produce it. Galatians 6, he says that everyone have to bear their own burden and their own load. In verse 2, bear one another's burden. There is a type of sharing in together are the sufferings of Christ. But in verse 5, each one has his to bear his own load. In the Old King James, it says each one has to bear his own burden. And it looks confusing. Because the verse for burden or load in verse 5 and the Greek word in verse 2 for burden is two different Greek words. One means a burden. The other means a load, like a knapsack that everyone has to carry. The other is like the corporate basket that everyone has to carry. A corporate load. And so there's a sense that each one has to do their part. And then corporately they can all do their part. And it says in verse 8 and 9, 7, 8 and 9, let no man be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You sow in the Spirit, you will reap in the Spirit. It says, do not grow weary. And the rest of the time, he talked about how he sowed his own life, the marks on his body, etc. And the other problem was in chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, that something, a sickness, an infirmity he has in the flesh. It's very obvious. You read Acts chapter 14, go by our timing and the chronology. You notice in Acts 14, he was stoned. He was persecuted. Then after that, he went into the area around Galatia. And of course, I mean, there he was, the infirmity in the flesh was still there. So he's not talking about sickness or disease. And his big writing in chapter 6 here has nothing to do with his eye glaucoma or problems or something like that. But it just has to do with his emphasis. And so we realize here that in chapter 6 it concludes about what fatherhood is. It means giving, giving, giving because you love to give. Giving, 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 sowing, 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 because you want to produce it in others. When you see someone who is hate, full of hate, and you want to make them loving, you sow love into their lives. One day, you know it will produce love in them, and they will love others. That's the key to fatherhood. That's the key to what the Father God is like. He is benevolent because He is. That is His being. And sowing is not something just to do with finances. It has to do with every part of our life. Sowing kind words, sowing love, sowing your talent, everything. Life is a sowing. The principle of sowing and reaping is inherent from Genesis. Right to Revelation. It affects every area of our life. You sow. That's fatherhood. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, that your love and your mercy have been great upon our lives. Teach us servanthood, teach us sonship, and teach us fatherhood, Lord. That we may experience the fullness and we learn, Lord, the energizing of the faith of Jesus Christ. We learn the energizing of the Holy Spirit. And we learn the energizing power of love. Thank you, Father God, that you seal it into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's all rise together. And let's sing that song, May I Stand, O Lord, in this holy place and be transformed by your love and your power. May I stand, O Lord, in this holy place. May I worship you and behold thy face. May I be transformed by your word and your spirit and behold the day of thy power. I will stand, O Lord, in this holy place. I will worship you and behold your
behold the day of your power.
Amen. Praise God. We will minister to whoever needs to minister on the outside there with the pastors. Give Jesus a clap offering. God bless you. Amen.